Good morning. Thank you for being here. Sorry that Steve's not here in one way, but also happy in another that he's able to be over and encourage the brethren in Zimbabwe. Throughout the Bible, we can read two different types of people and what God's attitude toward each one of those groups might be. There are those that put their trust in the Lord. They pattern their lives after His commandments. And those are often referred to as blessed in the Scripture. These people are, not only will they enjoy the blessings and privileges that come as they walk in this life, but they can be assured of a home in heaven when this life is over. But on the other hand, there are a lot of people who just go about from day to day, doing their own thing, walking after the wisdom of this world, putting their trust in riches, pleasures, and so forth. But they obviously do not recognize what the prophet Jeremiah had to say in chapter 10 and verse 23, when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Even though they might think they have everything under control without seeking God's wisdom, there's really a certain destruction that awaits these people when this life is over. Wise man Solomon put it this way in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So as we pursue our own wisdom, we know that there's going to be a conflict with the laws of God, thereby becoming a transgressor of His law. Proverbs 13:15 said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." So if we are pleasing to God, then we will be described as blessed. But there's some things that we have to do, and some things we cannot do. If you look at Psalms chapter 1, it talks about the blessed man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners, and he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Take note of those three words. That's the progression that sin takes. First we walk, then we stand, and then we sit. So, but rather, what we have to do is delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. Verses 3 through 6 of Psalm chapter 1 goes ahead and talks about the result. The man who does not do these things, it said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But on the other hand, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So for the next few minutes, I want us to consider, I hope I get this thing right, somebody pop me up, yes. I want to talk about walking with God. We're going to look at four things. We're going to look at a person who walked with God. We're going to talk a little bit about the advantages of walking, the procedure for walking, and the result of walking. First of all, Back in Genesis chapter 5, there's a man by the name of Enoch. We're all familiar with the story, I think. It said, beginning in verse 21, that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. But note chapter verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So we also look in Jude chapter 14, or verse 14 of the book of Jude. We also find out a little bit more about this man. Said he was a seventh generation descendant of Adam, and that he was a prophet. So combining these two verses or scriptures, we obviously come to the conclusion that Enoch was a very righteous man, a godly man, one who took his relationship with God very seriously. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 asks this question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is obviously no. So then the words, and Enoch walked with God, obviously denotes agreement, a reconciliation that existed between God and Enoch. And I believe one could conclude that God was the dominant factor in Enoch's life, before his family, before his job, before the pleasures of this world. The question is to us, can we say the same thing? I think it's also noteworthy that this relationship was a lasting relationship. Think about someone keeping a relationship for 300 years. I know just recently, and I don't want to embarrass Buford and Faye, but I noticed that they had been married 60 years. Recently, I noticed former President Bush and his wife had been married 70 years. So, in our society, that is an unusual situation where a man and woman can live together, love each other, respect each other for that long. But just that type of thing in our society might give us some insight as to what it would mean to be faithful for 300 years. And I think we would have to conclude even his faithfulness might have occurred even longer than the 300 years before Methuselah was born. But what about the result of that? God took notice. In verse 24, we'd already noted that God did not allow Enoch to die. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 makes it a little bit plainer. It says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. So we know that only Elijah and Enoch were the only two translated from this life to a heavenly state. Even Jesus, God's only son, had the taste of death, a very cruel and painful death, before he was taken up into heaven. For the next few minutes, I want us to look at some advantages of walking. First of all, walking strengthens us spiritually. If you think about walking just in a physical sense, we know that that strengthens our body physically. It also kind of relieves some of those pressures that we have from day to day that come upon us. So what could give us more strength than the knowledge that we are in a proper relationship with one who is described in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 as being able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And what more could we ask for to relieve us from the burdens and cares of life than to know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. My big grandson asked me what that meant when he was about 5 or 6 years old. Also, when we're walking with God, we're walking with the aid of a guiding hand. All of us who have been in a big city or lived in a big city at one time or other know that there are places that you just do not go. Even in our little hometown of Athens, there are places which you would do well to avoid, particularly at night. And we need someone to show us those areas that we need to avoid. So God has not left us really to grope about wondering what we should do and where we should go. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the scripture that we had on the board earlier, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We can also, as we walk with God, walk without fear of evil influence. Very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Even evil communications are companions, corrupt good morals. I want to say, that is a fact. You know why? God said it. And we best listen to it. In fact, we see it every day in our own life. When someone does something, quote, not proper, how do we explain it? Well, we explain it by saying, well, they just got with the wrong crowd. So that is something that we need to be very careful about. But that doesn't need to be the case with us, because we have a God who's given his word to teach us what's right or wrong. And also, he has given his word and his people to encourage us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And Steve talked about Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 last week in his lessons. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We can also walk with God and not worry about getting lost. Several years ago, Ruth and I went over to Yorktown, Virginia, to spend a few days with a friend of mine. One morning before Don went to work, he carried us out through some back roads out to the parkway that leads from Yorktown over to the old colonial Williamsburg. So I had one eye on all that beautiful scenery, but I had that other one on Don's automobile because I had no idea where I was at or where I was going or how I was going to get there. We made it there. We got our passes ready to go, and Don said, well, is there anything else you want to ask? And of course, most of you know me, what my two questions were. What time supper and what we having to eat. But he left us. We had a beautiful, wonderful day. And that afternoon as we headed back, as we were on the parkway, I was not too concerned about getting back to his house. But we got back out in that country. There was no signs and a lot of things became unfamiliar looking, not familiar looking. I really didn't know where I was at. Dark was approaching. And these young folks won't believe this, but cell phones weren't in existence at the time. There was a time when cell phones weren't in existence. There were no houses. So I was really getting worried. But then, you know what? I reached in my pocket and I found something. Don had written out the night before the exact instructions on how to get back to his house. I tell you what, even though my gut was saying, I don't know whether this is the right road or not, I believed that little old piece of paper. And sure enough, we got back there in time for supper. Now, I tell you all that to make this point. You know, our spiritual life can be pretty much like that. Sometimes we don't maybe understand really where we're at and what's causing some of the things that's going on in our life, why certain things are happening. We need to remember the words that Isaiah wrote, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, 8 and 9, where God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Also Psalms chapter 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No, we can't see all the way to heaven, but we know that if we use his word as our lamp and we continue to walk along the path that he's laid out before us, then we have no fear of getting lost. God not only knows the way, in fact, he devised the way for us to have salvation, even before the world began. So, just like I put my trust in that little piece of paper that Don Hedgepath wrote, we've got to put our complete trust in our Creator. He will guide us safely home. And he's told us how we need to walk. First, the first thing up has to be the fact that we have to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No, we can't see God. We can't see heaven. But we have to believe that they exist. Secondly, we need to walk in love. And quite a bit has been said about this recently by Steve again. John chapter 15:10. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Turn over, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at several verses there rather quickly. The first couple of verses said, "Therefore, we are to be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." As you go on down, the first couple of verses three through five, talks about all the sins that the world wants us to get involved in. However, in verse 7, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." That's the warning. So, we have to walk circumspectly. And that word even comes up here shortly. Verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, looking around, not as fools, but as wise." And of course, he wants us to walk honestly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12. Paul told these people that they ought to walk honestly toward them that are without, that they may have or lack nothing. We have to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Talks about how we begin that journey. So we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And lastly, Brent mentioned this particular point in his prayer yesterday morning. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Why does he want that to happen? He said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and through all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So what is the result of walking with God? I think Psalms chapter 23, verses 4 through 6, summarize how our feelings can be in this life as well as looking forward to the life to come. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So if we walk with God, He not only will take care of us in this life, but He will also give us that home in heaven when our journey here on earth is done. There may be one in the audience who has not begun to walk with God. So if that be the case, then of course we invite you to come confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your past sins, and be buried with Him in baptism, to be raised to walk in that newness of life. Or if you somewhere along the line lost your way, strayed from the path, then we urge you to put your faith and your trust in the one who knows how to deliver you safely to that home that's been reserved for the faithful. So, whatever your situation, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.